The Drive Guys powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Kings won last night. Got the 49ers in the NFC Championship game this weekend, this Sunday. Isn't that great? Now I'm trying to, Kyle Draper says I need to respect the Lions. So yes. I'm trying to be more respectful of the Lions.
What was the Lions' regular season record?
They won a good 12 ball games, didn't they?
What was the Niners' regular season?
Didn't they win 12 ball
games?
So it was
the exact same record.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, for some reason, no way you think the Lions can win this game.
It's possible. I just don't think they will.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And my point is, Debo is not on the injury list. It was announced today. And so Debo's full go, ready to go, locked and loaded for the game on Sunday. And that's bad news for the Lions because we know 49er offense with Debo, it's just like a little different than it is without him.
No, 100%. Debo is one of the best players in the National Football League. You know, he's
one of the most unique players.
Yeah, exactly. It allows them to do so much, so much versatility. I just think this is going to be an excellent game. I don't think a lot of people are giving the Lions credit or a chance. I think the line was 7.5 last time I saw it. I mean, I think this Dan Campbell team, right now, he's preaching to them, nobody's giving you a chance. You got the big bad Niners. They got all their stars. We're these grit and grind kind of guys, you know? And so I think they're going to come in ready to play.
Jared Goff had something funny to say about that, mm-hmm. about the star comparison, which we'll get to coming up here with the Drive Guys. But we have to talk about Sacramento Kings right now. We got some interesting comments on the chat. Somebody wanted to know, I apologize, we're getting a lot of messages, which is great, but it's hard for me to keep up with who's asking what. Somebody's wondering why, how come Mike Brown doesn't play Lan and or McGee against the Warriors? Well, hello, they scored 134 points last night. I guess you mean for defense, but you know, Drapes, the Warriors, they go so small that
Some
of them are really good at just playing your bigs right off the floor.
And Mike Brown mentioned, I think he talked about it in his post-game press conference, because he was not, you know, I think he was intending to use JaVale McGee in the game.
That's right, he did.
Yeah, he did. But then the Warriors went small, and he said, you know what? Why don't we go small also?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. And so it worked out. I mean, when you got Sarge playing the five spot, that's a tough cover, man. He is a sharpshooter. He's a marksman. And so I don't know if JaVale McGee or Alex Len are really, you know, chasing him out on the perimeter. And so I thought it was a good move to go small to counter that.
Yeah, you're right. That's one of the things Mike Brown was kind of joking with Domas about, but you could tell he also wanted to acknowledge JaVale. I told JaVale he was playing, mm-hmm. and I didn't play him. And that was Coach Brown was saying that was on him. Manny says, hey, it's cool. We heard De'Aaron Fox's wife call Domas call him Sabby.
Yeah.
He says, I didn't know that was one of his nicknames. Yeah, but I think you got to really know him.
You got to really know him.
Yeah.
You got to really know him. You know, I've never seen a player call him that, you know, and I made the mistake of calling him. Remember when he first got here, it was Fox and the Ox.
Yeah.
Well, Domas doesn't like being called the Ox. And so I had to, you know, I used it one time.
I didn't know.
And they were like, Drapes, he doesn't like that. And so Sabby, I guess, you know, I don't know if I could use that on the broadcast. I don't know if I know him that well.
Yeah, I don't know. It reminds me of the stories. I think it was one of the Kings sharpshooting European players. And he would hear the other players on the team calling themselves things, you know, that African Americans call themselves.
Oh, shoot.
And someone had to tell him, no, you don't.
You're not allowed.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't call us that. We can call each other that.
You can't.
That's how you learn.
Oh, my gosh.
As for last night, I thought it was remarkable that the Kings, who didn't play much defense for the most part, were able to win the game with a great defensive possession.
I was like, all right, maybe they had a great defensive quarter or, you know, last five minutes or something. He said that one possession.
But it was at the end. It was when they needed it. Yeah.
Yes. That was a great defensive possession. And it, you know, I mentioned my son's basketball team. I was talking to the varsity coach, Jay, and I was watching their game on Friday, and they're playing Sac City High, and he did sort of the same thing. Clock winding down, end of a quarter, star player with the ball, at like the 5-second mark, they blitzed the star player. Like, they came out a hard, aggressive trap. And I was like, that's a great idea. exactly what the Kings did last night. Clock winding down. Steph Curry, you know he's going to take it. Come with the double. And you have to do it with a certain amount of time on the clock. If it's 10 seconds, you can't do that. Then, you know. But when it gets down to 5-4-3, come with a hard double. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Kevin Huerter made that play. De'Aaron Fox did a fantastic job as well. And Steph Curry, of all people, crumbling under pressure. Something you rarely see, if ever.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting, as you may have heard after the game, Coach Kerr and Steph Curry, they were both talking about, do we take a timeout there or not? And they said, while Herter's shooting the free throws, they're having that discussion. And they both decided, yeah, let's not call timeout. You don't want the defense to get set was one of the big reasons why you get kind of a scramble situation. And that's what makes it even more impressive. The Kings' defense couldn't have been better, even if they had time to set it up.
Yes, it worked out perfectly. And somebody, you know, mentioned, I forget who it was, that De'Aaron Fox and the Kings learned from the Dame Lillard three. Like, you got to pick them up, you know, right at half court, make life difficult. And that's what they did. I thought it was a tremendous defensive possession right there. And you're right. To come through in a clutch with a defensive play, that got to make, you know, Kevin Huerter especially, who had just missed the two free throws. You know, you got to feel good about that.
Yeah. You know, there's an art to an effective trap.
Yeah. Yes.
You got to have your legs spread wide. You got to have your hands really active without fouling. And Kevin Huerter, when you think about it, 6'7", long arms. I mean, you get a trap with him and Fox with his quick hands. That's a tough trap. And they got Steph kind of going backwards.
Right.
Away from the basket towards the sideline. And at that point, it was done. And they needed to call a timeout. And he said, yeah, I should have. He said, me or coach should have. And I guess Kerr was there. I believe Brian Anderson on the telecast last night said, you could see Coach Curry was trying to call a timeout.
Right, right.
But after the game, I believe Kerr said, yeah, I couldn't decide if I should or not.
Yeah. And a lot of times what you'll see is coaches say, you know what, I'm not calling that timeout. But then when they recognize their team is in trouble and this play is not going anywhere, they'll try to run out and call the time. And it was too late last night. Yep.
Uh-huh. And I just, as I said earlier, I thought it was brilliant that Huerter recognizes, okay, I got Draymond. I'm not guarding Draymond.
Right, right.
It's Steph Curry.
It's Steph Curry.
And you know, if you watch Draymond in those situations, yeah, he's a great passer. He doesn't like the ball in those situations.
Right, yeah. And Steph had that look in him, too. Like, he was going for it. Like, he was going to be the guy that takes the shot. You know, Chris on the YouTube chat says, why did Shaq have to say Curry bounced the ball off his foot? He didn't. The Kings' pressure forced him to lose his handle. I didn't see Shaq say that, but it was definitely as a result of Kings' pressure. That was a great trap they had last night.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And there you go. You missed two free throws and win the game with defense. That's another reason
why
everyone was in such a great mood last night.
It's kind of weird, a little bizarre to have all that happen. Like, you never see Domas's wife, you know, front and center like that. Mike Brown chilling like that, asking questions. It was a much needed weight off their shoulders. And we'll see what happens tomorrow night against Dallas. But I'm encouraged by what I saw last night.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping they're able to take the same kind of swagger onto the road that they had a lot last year. And I know at times this year, like when they went into Minnesota, they played that way.
Yep.
Then they went into Phoenix, but Phoenix was shorthanded. They played that way. But, you know, on the last trip, we didn't see enough of that for 48 minutes.
Yeah, they started off strong, but that was against, you know, the lesser dregs of that road trip, you know. And, you know, I thought the last two games, Phoenix and Milwaukee, they played well. They played good enough to win, but they just couldn't close the deal. Last night, they closed the deal.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I know Luka, in addition to getting into it with a reporter, I think he tweaked something in that game against Phoenix. So I'm not sure if he's available tomorrow. I don't even know if they've had an announcement on that.
They got a game tonight, actually. They play tonight. And so I'm not sure if I know Kyrie Irving is out tonight. I need to pull it up. Kyrie's out, but I think Luka, I do believe he's actually playing. I'll have to look this up, but I think he's playing tonight.
All right. Well, obviously, another big one with a team right behind you in the standings. You get a chance to get a little separation there in this crazy, crazy West. But everything's looking a lot brighter, right? Before that Atlanta game.
Yes.
Frankie's going to join us. Take a quick timeout. Frankie Cardicelli, Sacktown Sports insider. He was at the arena last night. See if Frankie can explain why HB is a man revived. Mm. That's next year. Frankie comes right back with us when we return. Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
Sunday on Sactown Sports, four teams battle to get to Vegas for Super Bowl 58. First, it's the AFC Championship, as Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs want to get back to the Super Bowl as they travel to Baltimore to face Lamar Jackson and the top seed Ravens. Then, the Detroit Lions head west to take on the NFC's number one seed San Francisco 49ers.
The AFC Championship at 12, the NFC Championship at 3:30 Sunday on Sactown Sports. The Drive Guys, live and local. Every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
Kyle Draper, did you hear what happened to Frankie and Chris and Brendan last night?
No, what happened? What happened?
Yeah, they were leaving the arena, and of course, they're so happy that the Kings played so well. And then I guess a lady who seemed to be in kind of an agitated state came up and wanted to borrow one of their phones. Mm-mm. And Frankie says, how about this? Frankie says, oh, I'm sorry, we all have company phones. We can't lend them out.
That's a good excuse there. I like that.
Frankie has like, all right, let's go, guys. So he's going into the parking garage and up the stairs. And apparently, Brendan was just kind of didn't realize the urgency of the situation. And she ends up like screaming at Frankie, calling Frankie names. Yeah. Like, who is he? Is he your dictator? Is he your leader?
Oh, my
gosh. Frankie finally got everybody in the car and they made their way out. But, Frankie, I thought you handled that really well, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, it was a very interesting just kind of follow-up to a very exciting game. You know, the adrenaline's pumping, and we get to the parking structure, and, you know, your spidey senses kind of start going off. You can kind of just feel like things are going wrong. And, you know, I've traveled a lot in my life and had things like that happen before, and usually when people seem to be, like you said, in an agitated state, you kind of keep your head down and just, you know, sure. I try to be as quiet as I can. But this lady, she followed us and she started banging on Brendan's car and
stood
in front of it and screaming at it. It was a whole thing, and it really did kind of distract us from the game on the way home. That's pretty much all we were talking about the whole time. But another story for the books, yeah. But Chris, it definitely was nice for Chris to relay that because it was an interesting end of the night.
I hear she was calling you names, Frankie.
Yeah, I got called dweeb, which is like, that's an interesting one.
Called a dweeb. Ouch.
And she seemed like close to my age, so I guess that's more of like a millennial insult now, I guess. Calling somebody a dweeb. Yeah, so I guess that's what I'm called now. That's one of my five nicknames, I guess.
Well, listen, before we get any further, I know typically of late we've been giving you a card at the end of the segment. And look, you were supposed to be on yesterday, and you weren't, and you're supposed to be in studio, and you're not. So your grade was not going to be great, but we decided after what you went through last night, it's just a play on. So no grade today, Frankie. We'll start afresh next week, okay? Because you sounds like you saved everybody's bacon last night. Maybe they didn't fully appreciate it.
I'm just confused why. I mean, again, like, they didn't have much of a sense of urgency. And I was like, guys, we got to go. Like, she's following us.
Yeah, were you fearful for your life? Like, was she threatening in that manner?
You know, you just never know, like, if maybe she had somebody with her or something.
I mean, right.
You see things, you read things, and it's just, it's a scary world, you know. So I just wanted to make sure we got out of there in a timely manner. And I just had a weird vibe to it. And I was like, we got to go. But they, Chris had some equipment, and, you know, luckily we got out of there. Brendan got a couple of smears on his window from the window getting hit, but from her hand, by the way, not, we didn't run her over, but from her hand. So we got out of there as quickly and safely as possible, and, you know, just another night and, you know, in SF, I guess.
Thank goodness.
Frankie Cardicelli joining us, our Sactown Sports Kings insider. Frankie, how would you describe just the overall night down there last night, from the play on the floor to the win to the post game? How would you sum that up for us?
I mean, just as a whole, another good night from the offense. Obviously, when you score that many points, and of course you allow that as well, but the offense looks good. And again, Harrison Barnes is just the man of the hour right now. And I've listened to you guys a little bit and listened to, obviously, to Chris and Alan as well, and just kind of trying to pinpoint what's been working for HB. And I think it's just an expanded role. I think when he's expanding his role and what he can do on offense and his body type, he can really cause some damage to opposing teams. And I'm just looking at his game logs, and I mean, coming into Monday's game against Atlanta, he only had one game over his past 15 games where he had 10 or more field goal attempts. Mm-hmm. This is back-to-back games of 20-plus field goal attempts. He's never done that in his five or six years as a King. never had back-to-back games with 20 field goal attempts. You have to go back to 2018 with Dallas when he was kind of the guy. Like, he was the focal point of that offense when he signed with the Mavericks. So it's just a new version of HB that we're seeing. And when you kind of factor in the guys like De'Aaron Fox, who looked like he knocked off the rust, Kevin Herter making an impact on the glass, a double-double. You have Domantas Sabonis continuing to distribute the basketball. A lot went right for the Kings, and, you know, they picked up a win that it didn't feel likely in the moment after Kevin Herter missed those free throws. It kind of felt like, here we go again. But finally, the Kings got one and snuck away with the win.
Frankie, why do the Kings look more connected now than they have since early this season, or maybe even since last season?
You know, to me, my opinion is it's the fact that where we are in the season and the fact that the trade deadline is coming, and this is a group that's tight-knit and a group that I think is special and will probably always hold a special place in the Kings fan base, as far as this was the first Beam team, this starting five, and we've heard a lot of trade rumors and heard a lot of things and a lot of trade scenarios brought up about the possibility of these guys getting broken up, and I feel like this is kind of one of those last-ditch, okay, can we make this work, and what can we do to make this work? Well, I think Domantas Sabonis pointed out a week or so ago that opposing defenses are throwing everything at De'Aaron Fox. They're making life difficult for Fox, and I don't know if it's a matter of figuring it out. Like, I think that the Kings are still a very good team, even if Fox is getting doubled. But they're trying new things. And if you want to get Harrison Barnes involved and try to expand his offense, that's going to open up the opportunities for De'Aaron Fox, open up the opportunities for Kevin Herter, Keegan Murray down the line. You see them switch things up when things are getting tough, and a four-game losing streak will do that. It'll make you reevaluate how you are running things and your game plans. And I think Mike Brown said it best that a couple weeks ago that, you know, I don't draw up plays for Harrison Barnes very often. And last night they were going to Harrison Barnes with 3 minutes left. He was getting the ball in post-ups on Klay Thompson, knocking down two turnaround jumpers. Mm-hmm. Like, he was huge down the stretch. That just wasn't happening last year or the beginning of this year. So I think maybe you can take into account the trade deadline if you want, but that's how I'm perceiving it. This is really a last-ditch effort for this group to make it work and prove that they can win basketball games with this core. And if they can't, you know, we're going to see some changes made. But the last few games have been a very good indicator that maybe there can be some internal growth after all.
Frankie Cardicelli joining us. Frankie, HB, a team-high 40 minutes last night, a game-high 40 minutes last night. I want to go to another guy who's seen his minutes increase, Davion Mitchell. 22 the other night, 15 and change last night. What do you make of Davion now back in the rotation, and what have you seen from him?
You know, they've just been searching this year, right? They've been searching a lot for some consistent minutes at the backup point guard spot. It's gone Davion to Keon, back to Davion. Malik was running the point for a couple of games. He's done a good job in that position, I feel. But again, as far as Davion, it's kind of the same thing with what I was saying about the core. Like, this is kind of maybe it. Like, Davion, a report today from Jake Fisher from Yahoo Sports indicated that Davion Mitchell is available via trade, and maybe it's the Kings trying to see what they have in him for themselves, or maybe trying to up his value. But if he's providing minutes like that, he can help this team. And again, he worked on a three-point shot a lot in the offseason. It was chronicled how he worked with Stephen Curry's shot coach and tried to get that three-point shot figured out. That's kind of been one of his Achilles heels. He can't knock down the three consistently. Last night, three made triples. That's more than he made over the past 13, 14, I think it was 14 games he's appeared in combined. I mean, he just hasn't been able to knock down that shot consistently. And last night, he was big off the bench on a night that Malik Monk wasn't really having it. I mean, 4 points is pretty uncharacteristic for Malik. And that's what the Kings need. They need some production from that spot. They need a backup point guard that can, you know, knock down a triple if it's open, which he did, and set up his teammates. And he got the 4 assists over only 15 minutes of playing time. So maybe it's trying to see what they have in him for themselves, but also maybe trying to see if they can up his value, because he is a name that could come up on the trade market this upcoming couple of weeks here. But obviously, if he's going to continue to play like this, they're going to keep rolling him out there.
Franklin, I know that the trade could shake things up, and I know that some of this, Sasha's injury has changed things up a little bit too, but it looks to me, based on what we've seen the last couple of games, like Mike Brown may actually have a rotation now, and off the bench, Davion, Monk, Trey Lyles, and Sasha would be it. Do you feel like maybe that he has found something there, or is it possible that, you know, given that the last two opponents have been small, that this rotation was really more opponent-specific?
Yeah, you know, Mike did point out last night that he planned on playing JaVale last night. And mm-hmm. I think he kind of he pivoted on that move. But I think that those guys you just named are very likely those are the guys in the rotation for sure. I do think one of Alex Len and JaVale McGee could – could play over Sasha in some certain situations, because obviously the Kings do have Trey Lyles, and there's a conversation around that. Like, is it redundant to have Lyles and Bezenkov? Maybe, maybe not. They both provide different skill sets. Sasha is just a knockdown shooter and a guy who can cut off ball. Trey's a guy who can provide more physicality on the defensive end and someone who can rebound more. And obviously, I think he's a guy that can knock down triples as well. He's proven that. But I think they do need to find some stability there, especially if they're going to go into the second half of the season, because, you know, like last night, you see Mike switch it up, because sometimes you have to adjust to the opponent, like you said. Kessler Edwards even got some run last night just to kind of give mm-hmm. Keegan Murray a breather. Mm-hmm. So they need more guys that can bring defensive versatility. That's obviously the biggest need. We all know that. Everyone that follows the Kings or has watched the Kings knows that defense is the main priority. And, again, the guys even that the Kings have been linked to, I think Sam Amick said it on the show with Dave and Jason yesterday, Royce O'Neal and Dorian Finney-Smith in Brooklyn, those are two guys that could help out the Kings. But, you know, what's it going to take to get guys like that? But if not, those guys get to find internal growth. And, again, Kessler Edwards is a guy who's been a defensive player for Mike Brown before, and last night he threw him out there in a situation where they need to get stops.
Frankie Cardicelli. Frankie, my last question for you, you know, and it's about De'Aaron Fox. We've seen, you know, his numbers dip down, but, you know, last couple of games seems to be back up. I maintain that I don't necessarily need De'Aaron Fox to shoot 21, 22 shots per game, score 30-plus points, but I need him to take the timely shots, score the timely points. I thought he did a great job of that last night with those back-to-back threes that he walked into. What would you like to see from De'Aaron Fox? What's the best version of De'Aaron Fox for this team?
Well, like you said, it's a balanced approach. I think a lot of people point out how the scoring kind of comes in bunches at the end of games, and I feel like we haven't seen that as much this year. Obviously, he went through a rough stretch, but he's kind of getting back to that consistency. And last night was kind of an example of what I think would be, to me, an ideal performance from De'Aaron Fox, whereas he was knocking down shots early, and then he knocked down shots late. I think it's important for them to get off to good starts, because we've seen the Kings go down big a lot during that four-game losing streak, especially, but the Kings getting these holes early, even in games before that, in Detroit and Charlotte down the line, games they end up coming back and winning, they fall down big. And that's kind of because their motor, which is De'Aaron Fox, isn't, you know, performing at the highest level. Last night, again, obviously, the three ball was falling. That's something that he's been relying on this year, and I think opposing defenses still haven't fully adjusted to the fact that De'Aaron Fox is a knockdown three-point shooter now. I mean, he stepped into two triples last night in crunch time. That's what I'm looking for. It's a balanced approach, and obviously, if the guys around you, like Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, Kevin Huerter, and obviously Sabonis does what he does, but if mostly guys like Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter, who have struggled or been in the background this year, if they can do what they've been doing over the last couple of games, that's going to free up Fox a little more. Because like we talked about a few minutes ago, Fox is getting double-teamed a lot more than he has in his career. He's getting a lot more attention on his drives to the basket. Teams have really started to take the pain away from him. And guys like Barnes and Huerter need knockdown shots, and they've been doing that. And the Kings have been winning the past few games because of that, I think, as well. So more balance is what I want to see from Fox. And last night, again, 16 field goal attempts, 29 points. That's pretty great, pretty efficient. If he can continue to do that, the Kings are going to keep winning basketball games.
All right, Frankie, we appreciate it. By the way, who knows how this got started, but everyone's talking about a Station 2-on-2 tournament. Looks like me and Drapes would be on a team. Of course, Carmichael, Dave, and Jason, Chris, and Alan. And people are wondering, would it be Frankie and Brendan? Is that your team in the 2-on-2 tournament?
Oh, I love that. I feel confident with that. Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll be a little undersized now. We'll be a little undersized.
I was about to say, you better make every shot because you're not getting any rebounds at all.
I hope Brendan can shoot because I'm more of a distributor. But I feel good with my guy Brendan. I think Brendan hoops a lot, and I averaged a point and a half back in my day. And
I
can put it up, but yeah, it might be a little undersized there.
Was that your basketball average or your grade point average?
Ooh.
Grade point average is a little higher.
I'm sure it was.
A little higher.
Yeah.
You can find me on Max Preps, all right?
Max Preps. Okay.
Thank you, Frankie. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
It's not impressive, but thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Frankie mentioned some trades, and we now know what one of those players linked to the Kings, what he might cost. Mm. That's coming up in Today in Trade Talk. Today, and it's next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Hold on, Brock Purdy's on TV. I feel like I should stand at attention. Oh, he's off now. It's Kittle. Never mind.
Just having some fun. Drive Guys here at Sacktown Sports. We already today were talking a little bit about plus minus for some reason.
Yeah.
And this is a thing, you know, plus minus, do you use it? Do you not? For one game, I always say one game to use plus minus is like it's almost useless. Here's an example. And obviously you could cherry pick, and this guy did well, and look at his plus minus. De'Aaron Fox last night. I think he played pretty well, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
29 points last night. He was 9 of 16, and he made all 8 of his free throws. But his plus-minus last night was minus 12.
Wow.
Which looks terrible. Well, he had a great game.
Yeah.
So if you're ever going to look plus-minus, you know, if you look at it over a long period of time, yeah, there's something there. But anybody who points to one game and says, look at so-and-so's plus-minus, for one game, it's almost meaningless.
No, I think, you know, when you're looking at groups of guys over a long period of time,
yes,
you can use it.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, De'Aaron Fox a minus 12, Harrison Barnes only a plus 2 in a 1-by-1, but he was clearly the best player out there last night. And so, no, I agree with you, man.
Yeah. Kuminga was plus 16, and Davion was plus 13. So for just that game, they were the highest, so it can be very, very misleading. And then there's...
Where's my guy Andrew Wiggins at? 17 points, minus four.
Yeah, okay. He took 8 shots and made 6 of them.
Yeah, he was...
4 rebounds, 4 assists.
See?
Minus 4. That doesn't add up. We'll get you, boy.
Oh, all right.
Because we're going to talk a little trade talk here.
Oh, trade chatter, yes.
Yeah?
That time of the show.
Today in trade talk, today. And it was interesting because Frankie mentioned it, and we touched on it earlier too. There's this like story going around today that the Kings have made Davion Mitchell mm-hmm. available. Well, have they? I mean, all this is Jake Fisher, who we've had on the show, in one of his pieces, he happened to mention at the end of it, the Kings are known to have made Davion Mitchell available because they were potentially going to trade him in the Siakam deal, right? So for weeks, we've known that, yeah, it looks like that he's a guy they'd be willing to part with. So it's not like anything happened yesterday, where they say,
right.
Well, Davion Mitchell's now available.
After looking at it all,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what?
Right.
All right. Yeah. That's not what happened.
That's yes. not what happened. But we do know that Sam Amick on the station yesterday, Sam Amick mentioned that the Kings are, he thinks he's heard them linked to Dorian Finney-Smith and Royce O'Neal. How much would it take to get Dorian Finney-Smith? Saw this on a Nets SB Nation law blog, pardon me.
Okay.
So according to a league source, the Nets want 2 firsts for Dorian Finney-Smith.
No way.
Sure they do. Sure.
Right.
If
they
I
could
were
want
sell my
that.
House, I'd want $2
billion. $2 billion, right. Oh, my gosh. 2 first-round picks for Dorian Finney-Smith. Nice player.
Yeah.
But 2 first-round picks?
That's a bold play, isn't it? I mean, why not? The way some of the price tags are so high for some of these guys, the market's so out of whack, why not?
Dorian yeah. Finney-Smith is averaging 8.9 points per game.
Yeah, he's a nice player. But 2 firsts, there's no one in their right mind would give up that much for him. But, of course, that's part of the way you handle this, right? So it's 2 firsts, and then if teams are still interested and no one's going to give you that, all right, 1 first.
right. All right, 2 seconds.
Yeah. And then there's also this. We know that word out of Golden State is Wiggins is a strong trade candidate.
Yes, yes.
By all accounts, the Warriors are trying to make a decision. A, are we making any deals? B, if we do, who do we part with? And it looks like Wiggins may go. How does he fit now with the new the new Kings front court? And do you still want Wiggs, who, as you mentioned, had a nice game last night?
I like Wiggs. I think he could help this team. But the big question is, which Harrison Barnes are we getting? Because think about it. Kyle, you just mentioned Dorian Finney-Smith and his points per game. Can you tell, what was that again? How much is he averaging?
8.9.
Harrison Barnes is averaging more points this season, shooting better from 3. So why would Dorian Finney-Smith be an upgrade? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, same thing with Wiggins. You know, if Harrison Barnes is going to play like he's played the last couple of games, and we keep talking about it, doesn't need to be 32, doesn't need to be 39, but needs to be active, engaged, I'm okay with keeping Harrison Barnes.
Yes, me too.
I'm not looking to move that. I do like Wiggins, but I don't know if Wiggins moves you that much closer to a championship.
I agree. I think it's possible that Harrison Barnes changes your whole calculus on a move.
Yes.
And maybe that's foolish to get carried away with two games, except that we know that he's capable of not 39 a game, but we know he's capable of being a really good player for you. So I actually, I'm buying the notion that you don't need to go out and get a guy who's going to be a guy for you. You don't need another him if HB is going to be close to this HB.
I agree. And, you know, as Keegan continues to develop, you might not need HB to be as much as he is right now in these last couple of games. But all the names we've talked about, Dorian Finney-Smith, Royce O'Neal, like, that doesn't do it for me. That doesn't. Even Andrew Wiggins, if, like I said, if Harrison Barnes is playing like this, how much of an upgrade is that? I think ultimately what it comes down to is, which HB are we going to get? Like, I don't want the HB that, you know, one shot a tip, two shots a tip, 2 points. HB is good enough. We looked at the numbers. He's shooting 41% from three. He's good enough to be getting up 5 or 6 threes a game easily. 10 or 11 shots a game easily. And so I think it's inherent on Mike Brown and the coaching staff and the players to get them involved more, and we're seeing that these last couple of games. With that being said, Whitey, how far are we away from a championship contender, really?
Pretty far.
And what do we need?
We need, like, Keegan to be a superstar.
Guy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's probably what you need. And you need De'Aaron Fox to be more efficient consistently. And he's playing great. But I mean, if you're talking a championship, and you probably need significantly more depth. That's what I'd say.
Right. Right. And it's a process. We compare Sacramento to what Denver has been through over the last 5, 6 years or so. They went out there and got Aaron Gordon. I think when you look at the Kings, and if we're talking championship, to your point, you need an elite-level wing player. And can Keegan develop into that? If so, then you're right there. But how many more years will it take? Mm-hmm. You know, we talked to Jerry Reynolds, and he brought it up about 3 weeks ago to a month ago, the leap that Peja made, yes, you know, from his second to his third year. You know, as great as Keegan has been this season, there's another level for him to go. And so I think we'll learn a lot more about this team's, this franchise's championship level talent this offseason into next year. Like, if Keegan, like, next year, Keegan should come back a 20-point per game scorer. Like, to me, that's bare bones, bottom minimum. He should come out and be the clear number two offensive option.
By the way, footnote, and I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I agree 100%. Okay. Yeah. But as you're talking about that, I'm reminded last night, you mentioned it already, the way that Keegan defended Steph Curry last night,
yeah,
you know, after Steph got off to a hot start, that's really impressive.
That is impressive. And it's a tough cover, man.
Yeah.
I'm watching it, I'm like,
he doesn't stop moving.
Right, he doesn't stop moving. He's great at ball handling. And all you can do, you can't shut him down. You just got to contest shots. Make it as difficult. And I thought Keegan did a great job. You know, Steph rarely had clean looks. He may have had a couple, but Keegan, with his length, was able to get back into play. And so that's all you can ask for, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Steph had, what, 32? Other than that hot start, he really didn't hurt you.
Yeah,
right?
18 in the first quarter, 15 the rest of the game.
Yeah.
You'll take that.
Yeah.
15 over three quarters. You know, now, I'm used to Steph 18 in the fourth quarter when it's game time.
Yeah.
You know, and so the Kings did a great job not allowing themselves to get beat by Steph Curry. Now, Kuminga, on the other hand, he looked like we had no answer for him. Like, if Kuminga's going to play like that, he's their second best player, clearly.
He's
like, it's
a real, physically, he's a real rarity.
He really is. I mean, just how physical and strong and athletic and powerful he is. I mean, he was going in there with Sabonis a couple of times and bumping him back. And so, no, he is unlocked who he is, and he's going to be a problem.
I remember when he was a rookie, and we were all trying to figure out, and he was trying to figure out what he was. I remember one play where he's, like, trying to guard Julius Randle in the post, and Julius Randle just treated him like a rag doll.
Yeah.
He's like, you're a little kid, and he's so much stronger.
Yeah,
now.
Not anymore, right?
No.
Yeah, it was impressive watching him because he played with force. Whenever he got the ball, it was like he was not going to be denied. I thought he was very impressive last night.
Now, let's assume that Harrison Barnes is okay. He's going to be close to Harrison Barnes, at least the Harrison Barnes of last year the rest of the way. Let's just assume that. Then how does that change what you're looking for at the deadline?
If Harrison Barnes is...
So you know, and you can't know that, but let's just say, all right, we're assuming HB is like, all right, he's going to be rock solid again.
I think you're looking... Then you're looking at depth, right? You're looking at a Matisse Thybulle off the bench, somebody like that, somebody that can be a two-way player.
Dorian Finney-Smith is actually starting currently, isn't he?
Yeah, he's starting, right? Yeah.
Brooklyn is also the 12 seed.
Yeah, Brooklyn's terrible. But can Dorian Finney-Smith be a bench guy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then what about Sasha? Does he play the same position as Sasha? What about Trey Lyles? And so I don't know if Dorian Finney-Smith is – I think you need a 2/3, maybe a 1/2, depending on how Davion plays. If Davion is playing like the last two games, I don't think you need that one. But I do think you need that 2/3 defender, 3-and-D guy. And I think Matisse Thybulle, to me, would be the answer there.
Mm-hmm. See, that's doable. Some of the names
we're talking doable, about.
Right? I don't know if they can do that, but this would be doable, very doable. Somebody like that. Guys like that available, and it wouldn't cost you that much.
Wouldn't cost you that much. Seems to be not, you know, he's not going to upset the chemistry or anything like that. He's going to come in,
chemistry
play his role.
Sticks, right.
Everything's all good now.
All better. When we come back, the Lions defensive coordinator, he just compared Brock Purdy to somebody.
Ooh, Joe Montana?
Well... You might be surprised. Sounds like you're not going to be surprised. That's next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
The Drive Guys, live and local. Every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Everybody buzzing about sure the Kings win, and sure the NFC Championship game, and this proposed Sacktown Sports 2-on-2 Classic. Alfred E. Newman says Drape's team wins over Carmichael Dave's team because Carmichael Dave has no ability to handle all the smoke talk.
I agree. Get in his head, right? You know, get him off his game. Just talk a little trash.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I can see that. Big-time trash talker I am. So, yeah, that's
my
value to the team.
Meanwhile, Jason's just out here splashing jumpers over everyone.
He's a very good player.
I've heard the stories.
Yeah, I don't know if he's been playing lately, but he's very good.
Yeah, player. There used to be a station team years ago. I've heard those stories.
Yeah, so we'll see if we can make this fruition. We could do it for a charity or something, but maybe we'll just do it for fun. I don't know. Or maybe we won't do it at all. I'm ready, though. Aren't you ready? Let's go.
Nah, it's going to take me some while, a couple weeks to get in shape.
Here we go. Drape's walking it back.
I got to get in game shape, man. I just can't walk onto the court and drop 40 on you guys.
How long do you need?
Give me a good week. Let me get a week.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's nothing. Exactly.
Yeah.
Come on.
What are you going to do, stretch for a week?
Yeah, exactly. Do run some layup lines, dribbling drills? Yes.
Yeah. We'll have a camp. Drape's now run a camp. We'll be in such good shape at the end of camp. You guys won't have a chance.
A little training camp action, yeah.
I mean, it might be as one-sided as what we're going to see Sunday in Santa Clara.
Ooh.
Maybe not, though. I know. I gotta respect the opposition.
Respect the Lions,
yeah, humility and all that dumb stuff.
Aaron Glenn is the Lions defensive coordinator. I remember when he played.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah, Aaron, he's got some head coaching potential. And this was very interesting because he's talking about Brock Purdy yesterday.
Okay.
So here's Aaron Glenn. Quote, he understands timing. So when you have that, and listen, I'm not comparing him to Joe Montana, but you kind of see those traits as far as putting once he hits his back foot, balls out like you see it. I think a lot of offensive coordinators, quarterback coaches like that because of the timing of the offense. So I think he fits that system very, very well, and he's doing a really good job at it, end quote. So you can say – I'm not comparing him to Joe Montana, but that's exactly what he did.
You know what that is, though. That's respecting your opponent. That's what Aaron Glenn is doing.
Uh-huh.
And Niners fans should take a page out of that. It's showing reverence, love to your opponent, respecting him. We know Brock Purdy can't hold Joe Montana's jockstrap. We understand it. We all know that. But Aaron Glenn, he's pumping him up. Brock Purdy's like, oh, man, he mentioned me at Joe Montana. I must be doing something right. He's softening him up for the kill come Sunday.
Yeah.
And so that's what that is. So I'm not – just because Aaron Glenn says, oh, see Drapes?
No, it's funny because what I'm thinking of here is sometimes a team will do that when they really deep down they feel like we've got this. And I'm remembering the old 49ers, the great 49er teams. That Super Bowl when they played Miami. Duper, remember Mark Duper, Mark Clayton? Might be a little before your time.
That's bro, come on, man.
Well, I don't know.
Come on. Yeah. So Marks Brothers? Come on.
Yeah, they were talking about the 49ers secondary and how they're going to tear them up. And so I'm at one of these media table scrum things for the Super Bowl, and there's freaking Ronnie Lott there. And I get, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. Ronnie. Yeah, Duper and Clayton say you guys are just, you know, you're mediocre secondary and they're going to tear you up. And Ronnie Lott looks at me and he goes, you know, I think they're right. He goes, they're really, have you seen the numbers
exactly.
they put up?
Yep.
Yeah, and then the game came and the Dolphins had
nothing.
Chance.
They got smacked.
None.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what
I never
Aaron
forgot
Glenn is
that.
Doing. Yeah. He's just like, yeah.
Well, I wonder.
You know what? This guy might be Joe Montana.
I wonder if he's sandbagging us a little bit there. Yeah. Definitely one of the reasons so many people are so pro 49ers here and think the 49ers will win this easily is because you look at all the superstars on the 49er roster compared to the Lions. Lions have a great roster.
Yeah.
Not a lot of superstars there. And Jared Goff had an interesting exchange with a reporter this week about the lack of superstars on the Detroit roster.
You guys had a lot of really good players, obviously, but maybe that...
Oh, thank you. Okay. I said thank you.
Maybe that viewed, though, as the superstars, like the 49ers.
Yeah, all right, never mind.
But I mean, guys like St. Brown getting you.
Yep, St. Brown was first team All Pro. So.
Right.
So was Panay. Sorry, continue. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. But do you feel like this is a chance for more?
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. Yes, I do. I think we've got a ton of great players who maybe haven't had the national stage that up to this point that a lot of other guys have, and obviously they have a ton of good players as well, and a ton of Pro Bowlers and All Pro players over there, and we feel like, you know, we've got a lot of good players too, though, like you mentioned, and excited to play on another national stage and be able to showcase that.
I didn't miss any, did I?
No, you got it. All good.
Something really admirable about Jared Goff, because remember,
right?
The Rams basically said it's his fault.
Right. They blamed him. Yeah. Get him out of here.
His fault. We got to the Super Bowl, didn't win it.
Yeah.
And we couldn't win a playoff game. We need somebody else. So now he has a chance. If they win Sunday, he could become one of only five guys that would have taken two teams to the Super Bowl.
To the Super Bowl, huh?
Yeah. Do you know who they are? Do you remember any of them?
Tom Brady, obviously.
Tom Brady, yeah, who I think is – yeah, he actually won
two
Super Bowls with two different teams.
Wow, this would be tough.
One of them goes way back. One of them I'll give you.
Give me one.
Craig Morton, back in the 70s with the Cowboys and then the Broncos. And then
– two teams to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I know who they are, but I'm going to
– How do you know?
I know who went to the Super Bowl. They're relatively recent.
One of them this guy was a stock boy. Then he went to the Super Bowl, and then it fell in hard times, and then he went to another team and took them to the Super Bowl. Kurt Warner.
Oh, yeah.
Rams, and then Arizona.
He did Arizona.
Yeah,
because
he was
forgot
like,
about the Arizona
He was
one.
Like backing up Eli with the Giants, and the next thing you know, he's taking the Arizona Cardinals.
Speaking of Eli,
I don't know if he would have been a Hall of Famer if he hadn't done that with the Cardinals.
No, you're right. Yeah.
And then, of course, Peyton.
Oh, yeah, Peyton,
Yeah. Took the Broncos to the Super Bowl twice. It's funny because the one he won with Denver, he's like, he was no good anymore.
He wasn't, he was, speaking of game manager, just don't mess it up, Peyton. Yeah.
There's a case you could make that Peyton Manning is the greatest quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl, the 06 Colts, and the worst quarterback to ever win the Super Bowl, 15 Broncos.
15 Broncos.
So you think it's going to be a good game? I think everybody is assuming, even those who say, 49ers will win, they're all saying it's going to be a good game.
Are they really?
I think so.
Vegas isn't saying that, though.
Really?
7.5? That's not a good game. I don't feel like people are respecting the Lions.
That's a one-possession game.
That's a lot in football, though. 7.5?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a lot. I don't think people are respecting Jared Goff. He had a phenomenal year.
He did.
4,500 pass yards, 30 touchdowns. 12 picks. He was tremendous. He was great.
I wonder what your good friend Emil is going to think of this. We'll find out.
Emil.
He's going to join us.
He's on his studio, right? Please, Emil, stay home. Be at home, please.
He's at home.
Yes, he's at home. I'm just saying. I can't. My blood pressure is already up high enough. I can't do it.
Yeah, we'll get ready for the 49ers and Lions with our 49er insider, Emil Fragoso, joining us next. Sacktown Sports.